Allowing me to have this opportunity with y'all and to take some time and talk from His Word. I want to thank everyone here that's here this evening. I know, like Joe had said, many of us have different paths, different trials, different things that we're struggling with to get here and make sure that we are here. And you are an encouragement to me, and I appreciate that. I want to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity since Ian is away. And allow me just to say a few words that hopefully be encouragement with a message and an application. Now, I also want to take this time and remember Ian and his family. You know, he's away from us now, and when we have one of our members that's away from us, we need to remember them and why he's away from us. And hopefully he travels back to us soon, and I believe his plan is to be here on Tuesday, so we want to think about him on Tuesday when he's traveling and make sure that we keep him in our prayers. And his family. I know when you get called on the last minute, I know it takes a lot of time and preparation. You know, when we do classes, we think, oh, I have a whole week's time to prepare, but I didn't have that much time. So I know what it is to get those lessons together. And as Ian works and labors with us, each and every week comes up with a fine lesson on each Lord's Day in the morning, in the evenings, and even teaches class too. I appreciate this honor and privilege, and I don't take it lightly. And I know God's Word, as I said before, it's not me, it's His message. It's not about me and my speaking capabilities, it's about God's message. And about journeying through the Scriptures as we take this time and look through these topics. There's so many Scriptures, so many topics, so many things to choose from. I think that's sometimes the hardest part, to get up here and go, where do I pick out? Where do I start? Where do I get that fine, as Ronnie says, half-baked idea that can become a full-baked idea that we really can then share something meaningful with all of us? Luckily, I've been given many opportunities in the last few months to try and come up with topics. I had a chance to preach in December, if you remember. Also on January when we talked about my Kenya trip. Today's topic, though, is hearing the Word. Are we ready to hear the Word? Are we prepared to hear the Word? Hearing and listening, sometimes, as others have said, you know, being a Christian is a thinking man's game. But it also is a thinking man's game with application and action to direct our lives. God's plan of redemption was laid out simply. And it was spread. How was it spread? By word of mouth. By people speaking it. By people being filled with this joy and making sure that it's given to the others. And then upon the hearer, there's also responsibility, right? As you hear, as you sit there, you have that responsibility to, as I take it in, how does that make application to me? How does that action then going to stir on my part to where I can take that in? We have lots of events that start this week. It starts another week. Some of us have things to look forward to. We start thinking about those things as it starts getting later in the day. And what do I need to do to be ready for Monday's events, whether that be work or school or preparation or chasing numerous small children tirelessly? But getting ourselves ready. And some of us have physical problems and physical needs, but our mental readiness is something that we need to open our minds and our hearts to God to remember His Word is most important. And remember, we think on the words that Jesus has put, and He wanted to put into contextual perspective that when we hear, then some part of what we hear, we causes us to be in action or do an action. Sometimes it's necessity, sometimes it's compelled. If we do something, that means we've been compelled, we've been changed, we've been ordered. Our things that we've heard gets us to that. Like when we're on a road that we may not have traveled and all of a sudden there's a new road hazard sign that causes us to change our path. Change our speed, change our direction, narrowing the road. And as we hear and read the word, let us dwell in us richly. And we'll talk about that dwelling in us richly to cause a change. Well, in Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to start in verses 27 through 28, Jesus had been teaching the multitudes. He also was casting out demons at the time. And of course, then they said, well, he was casting out demons by Beelzebub, yes. But after those things had occurred and he had kind of corrected them that the house divided cannot stand, there was a certain woman from the crowd and she shouted out a blessing. So let us read Luke. And it came to pass, as he said these things, a certain woman of the multitude lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the breast which thou didst suck. But Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God. So how do we hear the word of God? Well, someone has to preach. Someone has to teach. We also can hear the word if we're reading it, right? It's coming to us individually, but hearing the word as a group and keep it. So that requires us to have an action. If we hear something and it causes us a change, it causes us to keep it. So that means keep it. Well, I need to remember it. I need to fill me up. But that's an action. So as a Christian, we have things that we think on, but we then have actions that are required of us. Jesus showed that change does take action. We need to keep the word. We need to make sure that it has meaning to me. Because this is personal in application. As we hear the word and as we make the application, yes, we get the same definitions, we get the same meaning, but we realize that action is individual. Action becomes my responsibility. It means that somehow I've been changed. I've heard something. It causes me to action. Now turn a couple chapters earlier in the book of Luke and turn to chapter 9. We see that the apostles Peter, James, and John witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus. And while they were with them, there was three other people, and they were talking amongst themselves, maybe we should make a tabernacle for all those Moses and Isaiah who was with you. But they were gone. And they saw this cloud, and they were kind of afraid of the cloud. But in the cloud, they heard this voice and this pronouncement from God. So starting in verse 34 through 36, and while he said these things, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen. Hear ye him. And the voice came, Jesus was found alone. And they held their peace and told no man in those days any of the things which they had seen. So James and John and Peter witness these things. They hear this voice come to them individually. Did it change them? Did they share that news? Did they share that information? Did it cause them to action? Yes, we know that in Acts chapter 2, Peter had this long sermon. And he told them who Jesus was. He saw this. He heard that. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't hold that in. It says he told no one of the events of the transfiguration. But they made sure that everyone was aware that this was the Son of God. Jesus also showing them many things. Also showed them that he was the good shepherd. Let's turn to John chapter 10. And we've read that chapter many times and just recently did the study of the life of Christ. We know not only Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, but James and John also would tell others that Jesus was the Son of the living God. And Jesus told them that he was the good shepherd. So he's using things that they understand. Now, they were fishermen, but they knew the land of the day or the time of the day, but most people were shepherds. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know mine own. John chapter 10, verse 14. And mine own know me. Jesus said he knows his sheep. He knows that those that are his followers. He knows who would follow and pick up after him. He knows that they then need to know who he is. And so if I hear the words that he is the good shepherd, later in that chapter he also said that being the good shepherd, I'm going to protect my sheep. I'm going to lay my life down. And I have the power to pick it up. The power to pick it up, he was given by God, and he told them that. But that means we need to know him. We need to know he is our Lord and Savior. We need to make that personal, not just as a collective, but we need to make that personal. It needs to be part of us. It needs to be part of our everyday walk. That we see this and understand this, that he was our shepherd. As we dwell on these words and take the steps that is to help indwell into our heart and minds, we realize that it takes some mental preparation. As we sit in these seats, as we have children with us, as we have other things that we're thinking about, that sometimes is the hardest part as we come in and prepare ourselves to be part of worship. I know sometimes that is the hard thing to do, to clear your mind, because there's so many things that can fill it up. When I was working, I remember that Sundays, it's like, okay, now I have this class that I'm teaching on the next day, and I have these things to get together, and I have the classroom space, and I have this. Everybody has the next thoughts. Kobe thinks about how many bees you got to move, what's I have to do to bring that. You know, we all have different things that distract us, and that seems to be some of the hardest part, making sure that our mind is focused on the here and now, making our mental preparation. And some of us, it's easy to do. I can easily push those things to the side. Some of those, it's harder. Keeping ourselves focused. Because what did we do? We came together already, and we sang three songs. We had a prayer. And I appreciate Joe's comments in the prayer. I appreciate Colby's selection of the songs that he picked. If you notice that first song, it talked about listening and hearing. And that we see and hear God everywhere. Because this moment, this time, is the most important to be together. Because who are we with? We're with our like-minded brother. We're with friends. We're with family. We should like to come together. We should enjoy it. Jordan did a great job this morning on his lesson, bringing us together, listening to the things that he had prepared. Did we tell him so? He did a good job. Making our ears and minds, understanding and perception. We need to make sure that we don't let things distract us. Don't let things that we worry about distract us. Let's turn two books over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. You know, it's human nature that we look to prepare and get things ready for the next day. Some of us are born planners and list makers. If you go to the grocery store, you don't go just on willy-nilly and just go through the aisles picking stuff out. It has to be a list. I'm not that person. But I have someone who keeps me straight and makes a list. Otherwise, I'd buy a lot of stuff. It wasn't on the list. I know, but I needed it. Right. Some of us are morning people. Some of us are not. Some of us are ready for the day's events. Sometimes that sleep kind of gets in our way. That time change certainly altered things today. What will it have in store? I remember driving on I-4 every day to and from Tampa. I'm just thinking, what's going to be I-4 be going to be like today? Items that we need to lay out for the night before. It was nice working for a department because I knew exactly what I was going to wear, a uniform. You know, I didn't have to pick out any other clothes. We shouldn't be anxious for things that we can't change, right? I-4 is going to have an accident or it's not. You know, things that we cannot change. It's going to be easy or it's not. Because what did God have to tell us in Matthew chapter 6? Part of, again, Jordan mentioned the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7, and I'm going to read a portion in chapter 6, 31 through 34. Jesus is telling them, "Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat?" And I know if you, a lot of you know me, that's my next, what am I going to have for my next meal? Yeah. "What shall we drink? Or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." But then that faithful, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It reminds me of the song. I have that in my head right now. "Be not therefore anxious for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof." Because we have now. We have this moment as it passes from now into history and then looking forward to this time together. Jesus said we should hear and keep the word. God said that we should listen to Jesus as he speaks through his written word and through inspired word that we can read. Jesus said, don't worry about events to come. Think about the here and now. Have we prepared ourselves for this moment, this time, this place to be together? And enjoy hearing God's word. Hopefully we're looking forward to this each and every Lord's Day. We don't have another opportunity until Wednesday evening. We have come together to worship Jehovah, offer up prayers and petitions, sing songs of praise, hear from the gospel, the word of God, remembering our Savior by the memorial feast, the Lord's Supper. And we appreciate very much Ryan's comments on the Lord's Supper this morning. This should make us glad and happy that we get to think about our Lord and Savior and memorialize those things. These are some of the best time and moments that we can spend. Some of us have been together in this building a very long time. Some children in the audience cannot remember a time when they weren't in this building every Lord's Day and every Wednesday. Hopefully, when you heard the prayers offered up by Joe and you said amen, you listened to every word he had to say and gave it that amen, let it be. And as we had the songs led, that we listened and looked at the words, but also listened each other's harmonizing, because we have some great, wonderful singers here. Now turn with me in the Old Testament to Psalms, chapter 96. And then after that, we're going to go to Colossians 3:16. But Psalms 96, I could read the whole chapter, but we're just going to read verses 1 through 12. So Psalms 96, starting with 1 through 12. "Oh, sing unto Jehovah a new song. Sing unto Jehovah all the earth. Sing unto Jehovah, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of all the peoples are idols. But Jehovah made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe unto Jehovah. ye kindreds of peoples. Ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, Jehovah reigneth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field exult, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood sing for joy. Then turn with me to Colossians 3:16. Now we think of those things that we should do. Sing unto Jehovah. Bless his name. Declare his joy and glory. For great is Jehovah. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. All things can be accomplished through God. All things can be accomplished through Jehovah. Bring an offering. Bring our minds ready and open. Now, a lot of times we use Colossians 3:16 to talk about singing psalms and praises and hymns. But let's look at the first part of that 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, remember I used the term that I brought back from Kenya, being defeated, being full, being filled up, being swelled. That is one of those things. Dwell. That means allowing it to fill my mind. Let me to fill my soul. Let me to fill my whole body, heart, and mind. That I'm ready in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace into your hearts unto God. Have we trained our minds, or what have we trained our minds to do during services? Have we trained ourselves to be passive listeners, or are we active and hungry listeners? Remember just a little bit ago, I talked about being hungry and thirsty. Are we hungry and thirsty? During different parts of our lives, unfortunately, husbands, we've been listed as selective hearers. We only hear things that we want to hear. Take out the what? Clean what? I may be guilty of this. I must confess. Children may also be selective hearers. When mom says, Olivia, clean up your room. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, mom. Some of us have heard thousands of Bible lessons, sermons, and invitation messages over the years. Do they get dull? Do they get boring? Or is that interesting? Each and every time we hear someone new or someone different or someone bring that message again and again because we want to hear it. Maybe there's something new in perspective that someone brought out of a passage. It's like, I didn't realize that passage meant that or said that or brought that out for me to understand. Because we want to have that hunger and thirst. We want to have that desire each and every time that the Bible is open and we get a chance to share God's Word from Bible classes and from sharing the text. I know the hope of the elders is each and every time doesn't become routine and mundane, that it becomes an encouragement and each of us gets welled up or full with spiritual feeding. Remember, we're not going to get another spiritual feeding until Wednesday unless we do it on our own. We have to feed ourselves sometimes. But when we come together, it will be rich. Now, when we talk about understanding, Jesus told them, I'm going to teach you many things. He's going to teach in a special way. He's going to teach in parables. And the parables were going to outline something that they should know, but also had scriptural or spiritual meanings. But not everybody was going to understand them. Not everybody was going to get the full meaning of them. And a lot of times the apostles did what? Tell us what it says. Tell us what it means. When you said that parable, what does it mean? We luckily have the word to do what? Of Jesus who told the explanation of what these parables meant. Not everybody had that. They didn't have that explanation given to them. That means we need to be actively seeking what it means, actively hearing and making that application. That's an action. Just like keep it, I need to make that application. I need to hear something. I need to make an application. That's an action. When we think and dwell on these words that are spoken, but also the words that you may read, that fills it up. Remember in 3:16, that first part, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We need to allow that to fill our minds and hearts and swell till it brings us action. What does it mean? I'm so full with the good news, I can't wait to tell someone else. I can't wait to go out and tell someone else. And a lot of times, even though we're excited about it, not so many people are. But we should be. We should be excited about saying it. Jesus told them that I'm going to talk to you in parables and stories. I'm going to give you the meaning. Let's turn with me now to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verses 10 through 17. And again, Jesus was accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus told him again, a house divided cannot stand. And he told the disciples why he was using these parables and why it was important that he was doing that. Remember, Jesus is the master teacher. He knows our hearts and minds. He knows how to deliver the message. He knows how we are going to receive it. There are those that do receive it well and those that do not. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he that have abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, that even that which he hath. So those that have fullness and understanding, more will be given, to where they'll be filled. For those that don't understand or not interested in understanding, that even what they have, that little bit, will take taken away from them. Verse 13, therefore, what is that therefore? Therefore, speak I to them in parables. He's using the therefore to remember them that I'm speaking to them in parables, because seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. Remember, the Pharisees and scribes, they witnessed lots and lots of miracles performed. They questioned the blind man. You've been blind from birth? No, you were just faking it. You were crippled from birth? No. And they questioned them. And the parents went, well, he's of age. He can answer those questions. He can tell you. And they still didn't see that. They wanted to say, well, you healed somebody on the Sabbath day. That's unlawful. So it's not right. And what does it say in 15? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Well, that's a quote from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 19, which I'm going to read now. Isaiah chapter 6, 9 through 10. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. 16 and 17. Isaiah 6, 16 and 17. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things which ye see, and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear, and heard them not. Many things that the apostles witness. And they understood where his power came from. He even explained it to the scribes and Pharisees, where his power came from. They didn't hear that. They didn't understand that. They didn't open their hearts to realize that that's how could he not do that. Many times people came in front of him, well, how can this man, if he's from the devil, if he's under the power of Beelzebub, how can he do those things? Only a man of God could do those things. And many times Jesus had told them that. Let's turn over to Mark, chapter 4, verses 10 through 15. 10 through 12. Mark chapter 4, 10 through 12. Again, Jesus explaining to the apostles why he was explaining or why he was talking in parables. Mark chapter 4, 10 through 12. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parables. And he said unto them, unto you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. For seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest happily they should turn again, and it should be forgiven of them. Now let us go back to where I just read from Luke. Remember what it said? Luke 11:28. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That action. In the New International Version, it doesn't say keep it, it says obey it. In another version, it says observe it. And now I'm going to read from the International English Bible of Luke 11:28. But Jesus said, no. And we say no, he was in that response to the woman who said, blessed are those, that woman that bore you. The people who hear the word of God and keep it are the ones who are truly happy. So think on that. The people who hear the word of God and keep it are the ones that are truly happy. That's a great thing to understand and to be part of. What are we going to keep? Keep God's word. What are we going to be? Active listeners. But when we're active listeners, that means I have to do some action. I have to be a doer of the word. This should cause us to do this action. Show off the good news. Show off what Jesus was all about. Show off why he made that ultimate sacrifice for us and died for the remission of our sins. Be compelled to speak whenever we have opportunity. Be compelled to be doers. Now let's turn over to James. Chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Also, people that are busy doing don't complain much. They're too busy. I don't have time to complain. I have time. We got things to do. We need to be that person that does, that brings forth that light. Remember, we've talked about this many times before too. You know, what should we do with our light? Hide it? Put it in a basket? No, we're supposed to let it stand out. Put it up on a lampstand. Put it out there for all to see. Don't keep those things hidden. Don't keep that good news hidden. We need to share this amazing thing we call salvation by being doers. We should want to hear the word. We should want to God to hear ours. If we want to hear God's word, then we hope that he hears our words. Did he hear our prayer today as a group, as we had someone leading us, but that was our group prayer? when we have our individual prayers for prayers of supplication and petitions, does God hear us? Are we listening to His word so that He'll listen to our word? This is an action, right? We listen to His words, and He's going to hear us and hear our petitions. Let's turn over to Psalm, the 66th chapter, verses 18 through 20. Psalm 66, 18 through 20. God already knows our hearts. He knows what we need. He knows the things that we ask for. But we need to ask. And we need to do it in right spirit and mind. And so we hear His word, so He'll heal our words. Psalm chapter 66, verses 18 through 20. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But verily God hath heard. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who hath not turned away my prayer, nor His loving kindness from him. Blessed be God, who hath not turned away my prayer, nor His loving kindness from me. We see that we have action. As we hear, we're compelled to keep His word. And as we ask for petitions, God sees us as His children, and He takes His grace and honor on us to listen to our prayers and not turn away from us. Because in this generation, do they want to hear the truth? Does this generation want to hear the things, oh, that's so old? You know, that Bible, that's 2,000 years old, basically. You need to upgrade that with the times. We don't want to hear that. Paul warned Timothy. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 while I'm getting there. Paul warned Timothy that that's going to happen. Hey, this is going to happen in your lifetime, Timothy. This is going to happen in your lifetime. That people will not endure sound doctrine, healthful teaching. Well, that time came in the first century. Paul warned him of it. But in application, is that time here today? Do we have people that think life is meaningless? That as soon as the heartbeat occurs, it doesn't matter until they're fully developed? We need to be called into action so that people will hear. This begins listening and understanding and reading and studying and keeping that within us. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. As Paul gave this charge to Timothy, I charge, or if other versions say, testify, thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, or bring to proof, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, healthful teaching, but having itchy ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. Well, that time is here too. It happened in the first century. It happened in now. They want to turn themselves away, heap themselves up teachers that are after their own lusts, who don't teach anything controversial or doesn't teach the whole truth, only portions of the truth. But what do we need? We need more truth. We need to hear the word more. We need to keep the word more. We need to make sure we are mentally prepared as that receiving unit to receive the word when someone is teaching us or someone's talking about it. Allow it to enter us, flow in us, dwell in us richly, hear with understanding. Allow the understanding then to take germination, to grow within us, to cause an action, to make sure when we come together we are singing and listening to each other, that we must be doers and not just hearers. And as we pray to God, making sure our attitudes are all right. that our words are respectful to give Jehovah our honor and glory. If we listen to His words, He told us He would listen to ours and make sure that we are right with Him. What is your condition today? Have you been listening to these invitations? Many men have got up here and asked for those. Are we turning right now in our Bibles to the song that was selected? As Colby changed the 307, are you washed in the blood? I give the invitation now. We've heard many times the plan of salvation. We talked about hearing today. And one verse I didn't use was Romans chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings, the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need to repent, turn away, another action, turn away from sin. Confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. How do we know that? By the words that we have heard. Then action, being baptized for the remission of our sins, being then into Christ. Matthew 28:19, 1 Peter 3:19-21, 2 Peter 2:38, Romans 6:1-10. All those changing and doing away with our old manner of life. Live a godly life. And in James, like I said, be a doer and not just a hearer. We're about to sing for your invitation, Are You Washed in the Blood? In the first verse, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you're not in Christ, then you don't have the hope of salvation. We have that opportunity now to be baptized into Christ. But if you're a member here and you need the prayers and consolations of the congregation on your behalf, we can take care of that as well. I appreciate the kind attention you've spent at this short, brief period. And now I give you the invitation as we stand and Colby leads us in song.